Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. This is the home of your 16-9 first place in all of the American League Boston Red Sox. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So the Red Sox last night swept the New York Mets, if you can call it a sweep when it's only two games. And today we are previewing tonight's series with the Rangers. I am joined by Bryce, host of Locked On Rangers. This is really exciting. You and I never have any excuse to record together.
I know, right? It's been forever. We did like one of episodes like a while ago. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, yeah, it's been a while. Like the Rangers haven't played anybody outside the West in now 2 years. And so it's been forever, and it's nice. Like, oh, it's not just the same like six teams. Like, it's so exciting.
So we have a four-game series starting tonight going through Sunday at your beautiful new ballpark. We have former Texas Ranger Martin Perez on the mound.
It's the first time that he's starting. We also have legitimate ace. Like, I said that ironically going into the season, Kyle Gibson. But Kyle Gibson has been incredible this season. Like, straight up incredible. So I don't know if you caught the Rangers opening day game when he allowed five runs in a third of an inning and had a 150 ERA. But now he's got a 230 ERA just four starts later. That's how good he's been.
Wow. Yeah, that small sample size. I think Garrett Richards on opening day also, not opening day, but Garrett Richards in his first start, he ended the game with something like a 30 ERA because he just got knocked around for two innings and then they pulled him. And this week he struck out 10 Mets. So, you know, sometimes people just need a minute to settle in.
They do. They do. We all do. The big thing for this Rangers offense is last year their offense was hot doo-doo trash garbage. It was abysmal. The worst in baseball. The offense was let Joey Gallo eat and don't pitch to anybody else. Or don't even pitch to him, just pitch to everybody else. And all that pressure kind of got to him. And also he had a weird start to the season. And it was just 2020. It was all weird. But this year, there are other baseball players that can hit the baseball on this team. And they're figuring out how to hit at this new ballpark. I wasn't quite sure if the ballpark played super pitcher friendly or if the offense was just that terrible. And you see the Dodgers hit like crazy in the park. But I mean, this isn't the Dodgers offense. Nobody's offense is the Dodgers' offense. I mean, maybe the Red Sox is. They're pretty good.
I was going to say the Red Sox and the Dodgers are the only teams with 16 wins in the entire league. So,
exactly. But it's starting to look like it's less just an extreme pitcher park and just like the guys are figuring out how to hit. It was just kind of a weird. It's just a weird ballpark. I like it. It looks pretty from the pictures that I've seen. I still haven't been there yet, but that's kind of the thing. They've got some offense rolling. Pitchers are cowardly and terrified to pitch to Joey Gallo, but now they're beginning to have to because the rest of the offense is kind of figuring out how to swing a baseball bat, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that Nick Solak has seven home runs, so that's tied for second in MLB because JD Martinez also second place in MLB. Him, Solak, and like 10 other guys have each hit seven homers. So it's not like you guys don't have some power. Nate Lowe has six home runs. I definitely wouldn't say you have as much power as the Red Sox, but I mean, people are acting like the Rangers have nothing going for them. And I definitely wouldn't say that at all.
Well, I mean, the thing is, no one expected this. I mean, Nate Lowe is a weird trade. It doesn't really make sense for the timeline. It kind of put Ronald Guzman out on his butt, who is now out for the season with a knee injury because he was playing left field, which he had no business doing so. But Nick Solak was a guy they traded. Pete Fairbanks, who was a big part of the Rays bullpen on that run to the World Series last year, and just in general, it was just a straight up one-for-one swap of Nick Solak for him because they just didn't have room for Nick Solak, which I've seen their offense. They have room for Nick Solak's bat. Like, they really do. They also have room for Nate Lowe's bat. And so those guys have been really hitting well. David Dahl, the experiment has been fine so far. Willie Calhoun's finally back in the lineup. And Joey Gallo has been the most patient hitter in baseball this season. He's got 23 walks. He has reached base every single game he's played in this year, all 24 of them, and has an on base of 422, even though he's hitting 224. So it's a 200-point bump from batting average to on base, which is insane, but it's also very Joey Gallo.
Well, I just have to brag for a second about my team because I just saw what you can only describe as a delicious list of stats. Okay.
Okay.
Red Sox are 16-9. That's a 640 winning percentage. They're first in the American League East. They're also the only team in the American League with 16 wins. They have a 3-game win streak. They're 4-0-3 in their last 7 series. They're 9-3 in games decided by 1 or 2 runs. They're 13-0 when scoring 4 or more runs. They have the most comeback wins in Major League Baseball with 12. Their 3.66 collective ERA is ranked 3rd in the American League. They have 0 runs allowed in their last 16 innings. They're 8-1 with a 2.79 ERA on the road. And their 7.72 collective OPS is 1st in Major League Baseball.
Wow. That's a flex.
Not bad, right? Not bad for a team that was last in their division last year and was the laughing stock of baseball.
I don't know. The Texas Rangers are pretty much the laughing stock of baseball.
Yeah, but I feel like, and I say this with all due respect, I feel like people were expecting more of the Red Sox than they were of the Rangers, you know? Absolutely. And so it's like more pathetic when you expect more and then they fall flat on their faces, which is pretty much what they did the last 2 seasons coming into this one. So plus they traded Mookie Betts and like, know, everyone's laughing at us for that.
I still am.
People tell fans like, oh, you have X amount of World Series, so like you shouldn't be mad, as if fans have any say in anything good or bad that happens to their team. You can't just stop being a fan of a team. Well, maybe some people can. I'm not built that way. But like if the Red Sox are
built different.
Oh my God. If the Red Sox are good, like that's great for me. But if they're bad, I'm still here. You know, last year, like I still had to record about the Red Sox and it was not fun because there's only so many ways that you can say that your team is a flaming pile of garbage in the hot August sun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I found all those ways last year. I was about to have to find them again this year, but they've been better than flaming hot dookie garbage. They've at least been interesting, which I appreciate.
Yeah. And you know what? I didn't think that my team was going to be this good. And again, it's only April 29th. So it's still pretty early in the season. But I thought my team would be interesting. I didn't think that they would be like, holy balls, what are we doing here? All of those stats that I just read to you. But I thought that they would be interesting, you know?
Yeah. And that's all you can with bad teams that are rebuilding. Not that the Red Sox are a bad team. Or that they are rebuilding. But like, that's kind of what you hope for. It's like, all right, give me some young guys to like dream on. Give me some fun moments. Like, just don't be miserable to watch.
I just thought that the team would be more watchable. I said that they might sniff a wild card. Now my expectations are significantly higher, obviously. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other Red Sox fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I host Locker Rooms, and you can finally join in on the conversation that you listen to here on Locked On Red Sox every single day. It's the perfect place to attend watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, listen to reactions to big news or rumors and join the conversation yourself. Download the Locker Room app free now on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. You'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On rooms are live. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com. Shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine controls, modules, brake pads, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog, it's super unique and remarkably easy to use. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose from the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low. And the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much on the same parts? You wouldn't. Instead, you would go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Okay, I have an idea.
Okay.
We're going to do the rest of this episode like an AMA. And for those of you listening at home, reading, meaning my mom, an AMA is an ask me anything, because I know she's going to text me and be like, what's an AMA? So I'm just going to put it out there. We're going to do AMAs, right? Yeah, you know. So we're going to do AMAs. So you can ask me anything and then I'll ask you anything. How's that?
All right.
AMA away.
All righty. I guess my biggest question is, what is the deal with JD Martinez? Last year, he fell off a cliff, and I really wanted the Rangers to go get him, because I'm like, I know this guy isn't bad. I know he's very good at baseball. And this year, he picks back up like nothing has been wrong the last couple of years. What is, in your opinion, what have you seen that has been leading to this fix of him having a nearly 1,100 OPS?
I know, right? all right. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that we could talk about with JD Martinez. I think there's a couple huge keys in his resurgence this year. For starters, last year, players weren't allowed access to video in the dugout, and they couldn't like go into the clubhouse and kind of watch. They couldn't watch their own previous at bats to kind of tinker with their swings. So with JD, that's a huge component of his kind of methods. Mm-hmm. He watches every at bat to make adjustments for the upcoming at bats. And without that, he wasn't able to make those adjustments. So his struggles were kind of staying the same and even kind of getting worse because he was, I think, pressing a little bit. The other component was that he was swinging differently because he had been injured the year before. He's talked about the fact that his swing had like completely changed because he wasn't playing in the outfield at all. He had kind of adjusted his swing based on the injury that he had had, I think, with his ankle and also with his back, and his swing had totally changed. And so between those two things, I think he just really had a hard season in that way. He has the video access now. You know, they can watch their at-bats. They have the iPads in the dugouts. He's totally rebounded. He looks pretty great. I mean, that being said, he went 0 for 4 last night with 3 strikeouts. I think he went 0 for 4 the night before.
To be fair, it was Jacob DeGrom.
Well, it was Jacob DeGrom, but only for the first 6 innings. I mean, they knocked him out. Not knocked him out. I mean, they just kind of, I think Rojas was just kind of like, this isn't worth it. So DeGrom actually tied his innings low last night. He only was in there for 6 innings. I think at least 2 of those strikeouts, though, were DeGrom strikeouts for JD, but he looked visibly frustrated with himself last night in his final at-bat of the game. David Ortiz said to MLB.com yesterday that the video thing was huge for JD. He said, that's all I did when I played. I watched video, watched video, watched video. When I heard the guys telling me they weren't able to watch video, I was like, man, I can't believe that. And he understands that that's probably where a majority of this lies for JD, because he's really an adjustment kind of guy. But I will say, I'm still kind of surprised at how much of a resurgence he's had. He has 7 home runs on the season right now. And like you said, the OPS is just ridiculous. But he definitely has cooled off a little bit. I think he homered during the Mariners series once. And I know I say that being like, yeah, he only homered one time. How dare he? But, you know, the funny thing is he also played some good left field during the Mets series. So he just all around has bounced back even more than I could have hoped for, which is really encouraging. So it's, I mean, and, you know, when he's hitting well, I think it's kind of like as he goes, so does the lineup. And they've had a pretty low scoring, low hitting last few games. So definitely looking for him to kind of bounce back during this Rangers series, because apparently, according to Red Sox notes on Twitter, which is like a Red Sox stats account that's run by the Red Sox, this is the first time the Red Sox have ever recorded five hits or less in three consecutive games and won them all. So yes, they had, you know, 2 5-hit games and then a 4-hit game last night, and they won all three of them. But, you know, that's not usually a sustainable model. You kind of want to score some runs. Like, this is their first 1-0 win in over 2 years. So,
wow, that is a long, long time.
Well, you know, because you need pitching that can actually hold the opposing batters scoreless, and they haven't had that since 2018. So it makes sense, but it's also not sustainable.
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of questions about the pitching staff, and Nathan Eovaldi's seems to be having a resurgent season. Nick Pivetta seems to be having a pretty good season. But my biggest question is, what is the deal with Chris Sale? Like, as an outsider that has not followed the Red Sox much at all, like, what has happened to him? Where is he? Is he okay? Are good things happening to him? I worry about him.
Well, thank you for your concern. I, too, worry about him quite frequently.
Probably more
as
than
of
me.
As of the, yeah, double definitely. I think one of the biggest things that factors into him is, you know, he had Tommy John last year, right at the beginning of the pandemic. I think it was either late March or early April. He and Syndergaard had Tommy John within like 10 days of each other, I believe. Hmm. And Sale needed that Tommy John in the summer of 2019. And they tried literally everything that they could to avoid that. And I understand that to a certain extent, but you're just prolonging the inevitable. And it's kind of frustrating now in hindsight, because he'd be back already, you know, and he's our ace. Mm-hmm. At this point he's our ace, but he's not our ace because we have Eduardo Rodriguez. We have Nathan Eovaldi. We have Nick Pivetta. We have Martin. We have Garrett Whitlock and Garrett Richards. Like, we have, this is the first year in the last three seasons, including this one, that they've actually had pitching. Mm-hmm. Sale is going to Florida, or he's already in Florida by now, continuing his rehab from his Tommy John. He has made a lot of progress, but he still hasn't thrown off a mound, and there's no timetable set for his return. That's what Cora said last week. So I think at this point, you know, they have enough clearly to win without him. I don't know how long that's going to last, but the Red Sox have a pretty solid rotation and a really solid bullpen. I can't believe I'm saying these words, but it's true. They don't need to rush him, and they're not going to rush him because he's too important. And I know just from seeing him in the dugout before he headed to Florida, seeing him in the dugout during games, you know, he's dying to get out there because he is such a competitor, and he is such a, like, I call him the monster because he is terrifying when he's pitching well.
Oh my gosh. And, yes.
Right. Like, even just his face, you're like, this guy is literally has flames like behind his eyes. Just scary. They're not going to rush him because they can win without him right now. And they'll win with him when he's healthy. But I don't think you're going to see him before the All-Star break because he's still not throwing off a mound. I don't think that his physical build is conducive to a fast recovery from Tommy John. I mean, he's a super thin, like, tall guy. He had a flu like 2 years ago. He lost 10 pounds and everyone thought he was going to literally snap in half.
I mean, a thin guy.
It's like kind of scary. So, and he had COVID this winter. He had like a neck thing. So, you know, his recovery is taking longer than people think. You know, all these people were like, Sale will be back in May. I'm like, May is in 2 days. He's not going to be back in May. You know, like, it's not happening. Like, it's okay because the Red Sox have more wins than any other team in the American League.
Yeah,
so
it must be nice.
You don't need to rush him, you know, and I think that if they were doing slightly less well than they're doing now, where like they really needed him back to kind of put them over the top, I think maybe there would be more urgency around it. But I think because they're doing so well without him, it's not even a question that they're going to let him recover at his own pace, because in the long run, that will be more beneficial to him and the team than rushing him back and having him get hurt again. You know, and I think that as much as he wants to be back here, they're going to handle him with kid gloves, especially with all of the problems that they've had with pitching over the last 2 years, you know, with Erod and his COVID, and then with Eovaldi getting hurt. They have a lot of money and plans wrapped up in Chris Sale. You know, he is the presumed ace of this team when he's healthy. So they're not going to risk that. It's not worth it for now.
Yeah. And that makes sense. He's just kind of he's been the forgotten guy just because he hasn't pitched. And this is now the second season that he hasn't pitched at all. And he really wasn't himself in 2019. And so I honestly forgot that he had Tommy John surgery. I was just like, I'm not seeing him here. Where is he?
This is a really big misconception with Chris Sale in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I have to give him his due because it's not fair. I'm pulling up his game log right now for 2019. Chris Sale in 2019, opening day, he finished with a 21 ERA because he got knocked around. Mm-hmm. But his first 10 strikeout game of the season was April 23rd. And after that, the whole month of May, he only had one game in which he didn't strike out 10 or more batters, including a career high 17 strikeout game against the Rockies in which he didn't walk a single batter.
Wow.
Four of his five starts in June, also 10 or more strikeouts. And the only game that he didn't strike out 10 or more was June 21st when he had an 8 strikeout game. He also had two double-digit strikeout games in July. And then in August, the final two games that he started for the team before going on the injured list for the rest of time, he had a 13 strikeout game on August 8th and a 12 strikeout game on August 13th. So yeah, he gave up more home runs in his starts in 2019 than he had in, you know, the year before and the year before that. But he was still striking out a lot of batters. The problem with Chris Sale is A, he was giving up more runs, but B, he never gets any run support. He is the Red Sox version of Jacob DeGrom. In that 17 strikeout game, they lost in extra innings.
Oof.
Yeah, they lost.
That's rough.
They lost. He got a no decision, even though he only gave up 2 earned runs and 3 hits and struck out 17 batters and didn't walk a single man on 108 pitches. This is a guy who, in every single start in that month of May in 2019, aside from the game in which he struck out 5 batters, in the other 4 starts with 10 or more strikeouts, he threw over 100 pitches.
Wow.
He was Chris Sale for a solid portion of 2019. But the reason that people don't talk about it is because baseball is a team sport and his team wasn't backing him up with run support. In 2019, Eduardo Rodriguez led Major League Baseball starters in run support average. And Chris Sale was at the bottom of the barrel in that statistic. Erod got like 9 runs of support every single start. There was a game against the Chicago White Sox in 2019 in Chicago where the Red Sox had a 9-run inning for Eduardo Rodriguez. A literal 9-run inning. That was Chris Sale, it was like 3 times as much in that inning as Chris Sale had received from the Red Sox in like his last 3 starts or something like that. It was so infuriating to me. He's literally their DeGrom.
That's insane. Yeah, it was like that back in, I'm thinking of the season like 2016. For some reason, the Rangers always scored runs for Derek Holland, but like never for Yu Darvish.
It's so unfair. I mean, Sale's season ended. The Red Sox went 10-15 in his games, but his win-loss record was 6-11.
That's rough.
And he finished the season with a 4.40 ERA and 218 strikeouts, even though he only played in 25 games. Wow. And he missed a bunch of time on the injured list. And that was like the end of it. But he threw 2,466 pitches.
Jeez.
And he had 218 strikeouts. And he only gave up, he gave up 24 home runs. So he was giving up more home runs. But he only walked 37 batters the entire season. Chris Sale's 2019 gets a bad rap because people look at the overall games and they look at his win-loss record, even though win-loss is an outdated stat.
Yeah, that's insane.
I'm like the biggest advocate for Chris Sale in 2019 because I watched all of those games. But if you're someone who doesn't watch the games, and this isn't like, I'm not saying you, I'm saying in general, because I had so many people on Twitter be like, he sucks, trade him. Like, what a waste of money. It's that the Red Sox in 2019 weren't very good. But for a solid portion of the season, Chris Sale was Chris Sale. He wasn't at the top of his game, but he also had two immaculate innings in 2019. And he was the first pitcher to ever have them within the same month for the Red Sox. I don't remember if he was the first one overall, but he was the first pitcher since Lefty Grove for the Red Sox to have two immaculate innings in the same season. And he was the first one to do it in the same within the same 4 weeks. I just want people to put a little bit more respect on his name because his team never gives him run support. It's like saying that Jacob DeGrom sucks because the Mets aren't hitting. It's like, that's not fair. Yes, you win and lose as a team, but Jacob DeGrom is Jacob DeGrom and Chris Sale is Chris Sale. And the fact that they don't get any run support, like that's not their fault at all.
Absolutely.
As you can see, I don't feel strongly about this at all.
Not at all.
If you're not betting on the Red Sox yet, you might want to start. And BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NFL draft is on, and the Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring light into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters each have produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and fairly priced, so you can gift her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com.
All right, Bryce. It's your turn in the hot seat.
All right. You warmed up the seat, so I'm ready to AMA.
My first question is, how much do you miss Mitch Moreland?
A question that we both feel fondly about. Mitchell Moreland, it hurts a lot, not gonna lie. Especially seeing him on a team in my own division, playing with Elvis Andrews, and there was a walk-off hit that Mitch hit the other day. And someone in this Rangers chat that I'm in pointed out that the first person to go up and hug Mitch Moreland after his walk-off was, of course, Elvis Andrews. And I'm just like, ugh, it just twists the knife right in there. I know Boston fans also love Mitch Moreland, but before he was yours, he was ours. And we loved him very dearly, and we still do. There is Mitch Moreland's very important to me in my baseball timeline because I was a baseball fan growing up, but I didn't really watch that much. But like 2010 was the year that I like watched every single game and just like got hooked by the game. And so that year there was a big Rangers first base competition. Like there was three guys, they were all young guns. Mitch was like the very bottom of the totem pole. Like there's no way this guy is going to be the one that's going to be the Rangers first baseman of the future. There was Chris Davis, who Mr. East Texas, like mash bombs and just, we needed him to be amazing, and they traded him away because things just didn't work out there. And then there was Justin Smoke, who was going to be the next Mark Teixeira. You know, he was going to lead the Rangers as a switch hitter with power, amazing defense. They traded him for Cliff Lee. And then there was Mitch Moreland, who just consistently outperformed both of those guys and made him their clear choice to be the Rangers first baseman of the future, which he was for a long time and was very unappreciated by the league. And I just love Mitch Moreland. He's just a good dude, and I'm glad he was a Ranger And I will always root for him. Good Lord, I can't even speak words because I miss Mitch that much. But yeah, I miss him a lot.
I feel the same way. I was heartbroken when they traded him. That was like 2020 was like a dark season for the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. But the trade deadline was one of the darkest days because I have been the biggest Mitch Moreland fan ever since he joined the Red Sox. And he was one of the only, I have this policy where I won't buy myself player jerseys or shirtsies unless it's either a retired player, a dead player, like Johnny Pesky or Ted Williams, or Mitch Moreland. He was, I'm not kidding, the only Red Sox jersey I have from a current, like I don't even have a Xander Bogaerts shirt.
Wow. Yeah, I've been burned by some of those jerseys before. I have a Jonathan Lucroy jersey that I've lost. Don't know where it is, and don't care to find it. Honestly, I have a Mitch Moreland one, and I have a Joey Gallo one. Those are my only ones.
He was and remains super underrated. I tell our friend Jason, host of Locked On A's, like every he tells me he's very sweet. He messages me when Mitch Moreland has a good game. If I'm not watching, and he's like, hey, he had a sack fly today, or like he had an RBI, or he hit a home run, and it just makes like,
he doesn't
really
do that for me. What the heck, okay, Jason?
Well, I think I'm a little bit more vocal about my Mitch Moreland love than you are, and that's probably why, because I have been telling the world to appreciate Mitch Moreland more for like a solid 4 years now, and the world still doesn't seem to listen, and I genuinely don't understand it. But yes, Mitch Moreland will be one of those players who like probably most likely will not end up in the Hall of Fame, but he's Hall of Fame in my heart. Cooperstown of Gabriel Starr's heart. So let's talk about Chris Davis though. I saw that he is at the alternate training site this week, right?
Yes.
And he's rehabbing. So like, what's his timetable? Give me an update on him.
So there was a thought in spring training for a lot of spring training that he wasn't even going to make this roster. They were just going to have to eat the money because he looked just that terrible in spring training. But then towards the back half of spring training, he kind of figured it out. Looked like he had some juice still left in his bat. But the Rangers loved his veteran presence. Like that was a big reason why they traded for him. They needed a big righty power bat. And right now that position is kind of being filled by Adolis Garcia and Nick Solak. But Chris Davis is pretty close, I think, a couple weeks away, maybe like a week to 2 weeks. I'm not exactly sure on the timeline for him getting back. But this offense has been so much better than I anticipated them being that there's not that much room for him. He might take a lot of David Dahl at bats. David Dahl has not been as good as I thought he would be. Right now, Adolis Garcia has locked down the center field position, which is not something that I saw coming at all. You're reigning American League Player of the Week, Adolis Garcia. Love this man. So happy for this man, 28-year-old rookie, making an absolute splash in his first week in the big leagues. So basically, the problem was with this roster is they had three guys for two spots, the DH / left field position. It was David Dahl, Willie Calhoun, and Chris Davis, or as I used to call him before he was a Ranger, K-Chris Davis, because he was a thorn in Rangers' sides, and I didn't like that he spelled his name wrong. There's a lot of people who spelled my name wrong, so I took it personally for the Chris's out there. But now I just call him Chris Davis because he is a Ranger, and I want to give him that respect. But David Dahl has not been that great so far this year, so I think he is liable to have some of his at-bats taken away by Chris Davis. Willie Calhoun has been excellent in the 10 games he's played so far this season. He's hitting .306 with an OPS of .764. The power hasn't been quite there, but the approach has been excellent. He's been hitting to all fields, which is what he did really well as a Dodgers prospect and when he was in the Rangers minor leagues. And so teams can't shift on him as much. So I think he'll have a part to play on this team. Also, former Red Sox Brock Holt is here and making an impact. Actually, one of the big reasons why Nick Solak has been hitting so well is credited to Brock Holt, who told him, you're a gamer, so why are you wearing your pants all the way down to your ankles? Pull them up to your knees. And since he's done that, Nick Solak has started absolutely raking. So Brock's like, yeah, that's me. I did that.
Brock Holt is a short pants guy. He also is another one of those underrated guys that I am always rooting for and think is underrated. I mean, he's the only player in MLB history to hit for the cycle in a postseason game. He's played like almost every single position on the diamond and in the outfield. So he's super versatile. One of those guys that the Red Sox definitely should have kept. Excited to see him in this series, hopefully. But, you know, you mentioned the outfield. I know he's not just an outfield guy, but Joey Gallo, you know, your homegrown Joey Gallo, one of the last mainstays that you have down there in Texas. kind of a slow start to the season, but better than last year. I wanted to know, because I thought that this was really interesting, because I think that there's been like a push for more plate discipline around the league after the last few years where strikeouts have just become so out of control. In 57 games in 2020, Joey Gallo walked 29 times. And already in 24 games this season, he has 23 walks.
Yeah, he has been...
So that plate discipline, man, that's pretty good.
It has been hugely different. And the reason he has so many walks is not just because he's very disciplined. It's because, like I was saying earlier, like the Rangers offense around him was not that good. And last year, especially, it was not that good. And he put a lot of pressure on himself. And he also suffered from the same thing that JD Martinez did. He is a big film guy. And so last year, not having that really, really hurt him as well. But this year, no one's throwing him strikes. They just aren't throwing him strikes. And he's like, all right, if you're never going to throw me a strike, I will walk 20% of the time or whatever his walk rate is. It's right about at 20%, 102 at bats and 23 walks, which is just insane. He's got one of the highest on base percentages in the league. But he's like, all right, if you're really not going to throw me anything, then like I will take everything, all these balls that you throw at me. And so that has been much improved. He pressed a little bit the last week or so, because you can tell he's like, all right, like seriously, just throw me something. Like, good Lord, throw me something over the plate, just anything. And he finally broke his, he had a career high long 20 game homerless stretch, which for Joey Gallo, that's like an eternity, because that's all he does. He hits home runs and he walks and he strikes out. He is the 3-2 outcome guy. He's been hitting a lot more singles this year. Before this season, he had more career home runs than singles, because that is just the weirdness of Joey Gallo. That's who he is. And I love that.
So this has been your series preview. Red Sox and Rangers starts tonight for a 4-game series that will take you all the way through Sunday and into the month of May. And once this episode is over, tell your smart device to play the new episode of Locked On Today. It's the sports podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network that gives you all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Thanks so much for tuning into the preview. Check out Bryce on Twitter. He's Bryce Patterick. I'm GFSTARR1. Locked On Red Sox is at @LO_Red Sox. Locked On Rangers is at @LockedOnRangers. And we'll be live tweeting this 4-game series all weekend long. So check in with us. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, go Red Sox.